Revelation chapter 1. I noticed on the way to church tonight the sign out in front of Owens Chapel. And it said something like this. It said, "The last time the world was in such a mess, God sent a flood." And I thought to myself, that's what we've been talking about the mess, and seeing how God in Revelation encourages us that He's going to make everything right. The church is in a mess, but He's going to make it right. That's what the book of Revelation tells us. The human government is in a mess, but He's going to make it right. This unbelieving world is a mess, but God's going to make it right. And there's another thing that is a mess that we see made right in the book of Revelation. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And this one, I think, may surprise you. Look with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verses 7 and 8. And the Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." And then in verse 7 and 8, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we do thank you and praise you for God, thy goodness to us. God, you've blessed us so much in so many ways, as Sister Vicki sang about. God, the testimonies that were given, again, pay tribute to thy goodness and thy mercy and thy grace to us. God, how we thank you, how we praise you. Father, we come to you tonight, God, with our cups lifted up. And we ask you, Father, to fill our cups to overflowing. Pray, God, that, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts. God, that we'll leave this house encouraged. Sometimes this life, this world, the lives that we live, God get such a turmoil. But God, we find encouragement in the book of Revelation. We pray, Father, you'll embed that in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation begins with these words, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." That, folks, is what this book is. That's what it's about. Revelation means to uncover, to unveil, to lift up the covering. So the Lord in this book is lifting the covering. He's lifting the veil to reveal to us Jesus, to show us Jesus. Now, your first thought may be, "Preacher, I already know Jesus. I see him in the Gospels." And that's true. You do see him in the Gospels. But beloved, that's how Jesus was then, at his first coming. But beloved, here in Revelation, we see him as he is now. As he is now. And as he will be in his second coming. Jesus in the first coming was meek and lowly. He's not like that now. Now, beloved, he is full of glory and power. Amen. Look, Jesus in his first coming came as the Lamb of God to be the sacrifice for our sin. He's not like that now. Now, beloved, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus in the Gospels came came submitting to death. Now, beloved, he stands ready to judge and to make war. Oh, listen, there is such a difference in how he was then and how he is now on the eve of his second coming. You see, beloved, he's the same person, but he's coming with a different mission. So we have before us in this book an unveiling of Jesus as we have never seen him before. And beloved, we see that right off in verses 7 and 8. When he came the first time, he was born in a manger, and few, beloved, paid attention. Few even knew about it. Oh, but now he comes, beloved, in the clouds, and all shall see him, and they will wail at his appearing. Then, beloved, he came as a poor boy raised in Nazareth. Now he comes, beloved, as Alpha and Omega, the Almighty. The Almighty. And how that should be an encouragement to us to know that our Lord is coming in power and glory and might and judgment. Hey, when he came the first time, God allowed wicked men to have their way with him. Oh, but now, beloved, God allows Jesus to have his righteous way with them. With them. Because you see, he's coming, beloved, to make all things right. To straighten out the mess. He's coming, beloved, to straighten out the mess that sin has caused. And with that in mind, we've seen, beloved, how he will straighten out the mess that the church is in. We've seen how he'll straighten out the mess human government is in. We've seen how he'll straighten out the mess that unbelieving man is in. All in this book of Revelation. But you know, there's yet another mess that, beloved, he corrects in Revelation. And that mess is, beloved, you and I as believers. You know, we are in a mess. Did you know that? Somebody says, "Preacher, wait a minute. I'm not in a mess. I'm saved. Yes, you are. And thank God you are born again. If you by faith have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. But beloved, as we live in this sin-cursed world, listen to me, our lives are in a mess. They're in a mess. Folks, listen to this. Salvation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. By the blood of Christ, we are delivered from the power of sin. You know what the power of sin is? It's death. It's death. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to verses 55 through 57. Listen to what it says. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listen to verse 56. The sting of death is sin. What it's saying is the power of death is sin, beloved. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, the power of sin is death. Is death. And because of that cross, beloved, we have nothing to fear from death anymore. Amen? Praise God. See, the sting of death is of sin is death. The power of sin is death. We're delivered from death. We're delivered from it. But look at verse 58. The next verse, look at what it says. I got to turn back there. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, why would he tell us to be steadfast and to be immovable? Why would he do that? Beloved, we're delivered from the power of sin. Therefore, because we are, be ye steadfast and immovable. Why? Because while we're saved from the power of death, we are still susceptible to the presence, the power of sin. We are susceptible to the presence of sin. To the presence of sin. We're saved from death, but beloved, we live in a world that is overrun by sin. Amen? And in that way, sin affects us. Affects our lives. You see, sin, beloved, tempts us. Amen? How many of you are ever tempted? Come on, there you go. Sin tempts us. Sin hurts us. Sin afflicts us. Sin torments us. It cannot kill us, but it affects us in many ways as we live this life. Therefore, though we are saved, our lives down here are in a mess. Are in a mess. You know, it's one battle against sin after another. Or it is for me. I mean, all the time, I'm battling sin. I'm battling sin. Now, God has given us weapons to win the battle and overcome. But still, beloved, sin messes up our lives. And I'm not talking about necessarily your personal sin. I'm talking about sin. 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 Our lives are a mess. They're a mess emotionally. How many of you, since you've been saved, still cry? There you go. You know what makes you cry? Sin. Sin. If not your sin, the sin of someone else. Makes you cry. Makes you cry. How many of you still worry? Come on. There you go. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Why? How many of you still fret? Beloved, sin. We all do. I mean, over the results of sin. All of us do. All of those tears are because of sin. If not your sin, the sin of someone else. How many tears have I seen, beloved, fall from a weeping mother who's a Christian? And she cries because her children have gone over and over and over again. How many times, beloved, have I stood with worried parents, worried about their children, beloved. They're hurting because of a sinful choice that their child might have made. How many times? How many times have I heard Christians say, I just don't know how much more of this I can make. I don't know how much more I can make. Folks, emotionally, they're left in a mess because of the presence of sin. Our lives are in a mess physically. Physically. If you doubt that, take a look at me. They're false. They're false. Can't see. Can't hear. What I'm saying is, beloved, listen, physically we suffer because of the presence. You know why we grow old? Sin. The presence of sin. These bodies grow older with age, beloved, and so goes our strength and our hearing and our sight. We have aches and pains and ailments, beloved, that all happen because of sin, because of a sin-cursed world. Being a Christian, beloved, doesn't save you from that. Doesn't save you. We get sick physically. We just went through COVID-19 and all that mess, beloved. And you know Christians caught COVID-19?
By the way, who was that Judy Kettleman had COVID on?
Mary Caitlin, y'all be sure and pray for her. Pray for her. We fight the flu every season, pneumonia, you name it, beloved. And we get so sick. Sickness and disease comes from sin. And we're still, beloved, in sin's presence. We get hurt. We get hurt through accidents. Brother Doug was telling me he fell 3 times this week. Won't y'all pray for him? We get hurt. His knees and legs are all skin up. They're ugly. They were ugly before, but they are really ugly now, let me tell you. But we get hurt, beloved. We physically, our lives are a mess with pain and suffering. It's the presence of sin. So emotionally, physically, beloved, our lives are a mess. We are certainly, beloved, even in a mess spiritually. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Folks, our lives are a mess spiritually because we are continually tempted to sin. Amen? Tempted to sin. We labor and we work to stay close to the Lord, to be steadfast and immovable. We face, beloved, the fiery darts of the devil, the snares of the wicked one. We labor, beloved, to be obedient and to pray and to read our Bibles and to go to church. All to stay in fellowship with our Lord and not sin. The world and the flesh and the devil are continuously attacking us, trying to break our fellowship with Christ, trying to ruin our testimony, trying to pull us down, peer pressure from those around us. Pull us, lure us away from Oh, thank God. Thank God we're saved. But the presence of sin makes our lives a mess emotionally, physically, and spiritually. How many of you can say, I'm as close to the Lord as I ought to be? I can. Why is that? Because of the presence of sin. Around us. Let's face it, folks. We in this earthly form are a mess. We are a mess. Makes us so many times. Don't tell me you haven't ever thought. Just want to throw your hands up and quit. Because life is such a mess. Oh, but listen. Take heart. There's encouragement to be found in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation. Folks, the mess that we find ourselves in as Christians is all because of the presence of sin. But do you realize that, beloved, this entire book of Revelation, beloved, deals with the fact that the Lord will come and will do away with sin in all of its forms. Amen? Even the very presence of sin will be done away with. Will be done away with. He'll do away, beloved, with sin in the church. He'll do away with sin in human government. He'll do away with sin in unbelieving man. And He will do away with Satan, the author of sin. In other words, He will destroy all sin. And sin, beloved, will be no more. Will be no more. Boy, I can't wait for that. I can't wait. So the whole book of Revelation is an encouragement to us, the saved, who suffer from the presence of sin. But let's narrow it down just a little bit. Our problem stems from the presence of sin. Every tear, every pain, every trial that we experience, beloved, comes from sin's presence. From sin's presence. Look with me in Revelation chapter 4. I want to show you something. I've shown you this before, but it ain't going to hurt you to hear it again. Revelation chapter 4. Now get this. All this hurt, suffering, this mess our lives is in is from the presence of sin. Look at Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened where? In heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The Bible says, after this, after what? After the church age is presented to John in chapters 2 and 3, after that church age, he says, "I see a door opened in heaven. I hear a voice, and it sounds like a trumpet calling, 'Come up hither.'" And immediately John is called up to heaven. Folks, he's in heaven. Guess what's in heaven? No sin. No sin in heaven, amen? No sin. No presence of sin in heaven. Now, he is spiritually taken, beloved, out of the presence of sin, away from this earth, into heaven. Do you realize, folks, that one day, we will hear a trumpet saying, "Come up hither." And beloved, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up and leave the presence of sin. And we're going, beloved, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we will be in heaven. Whoa! We will be in heaven. Folks, what we see in chapter 4 with John is a type of the rapture of the church. Of the rapture of the church. The only difference is with John, he was caught up in the Spirit. We'll be caught up, beloved, bodily, with glorified bodies, beloved, like Jesus' resurrection body. But what I want you to see is that we will be taken up out of the presence of sin, taken to heaven where there is no sin. We'll have, get this, glorified bodies. You know what that means? It means I'm not going to have false teeth. It means I'm not going to need these anymore. And I'm not going to need these things anymore. Glorified bodies. Bodies, beloved, that there can't be hurt by sin. See, and there will be no sin there to affect us, even if it could. These glorified bodies. No sorrow, no hurt, no pain, no trials, nothing to afflict us. And there will be Jesus, our bridegroom, beloved. You talk about closeness. Closeness? Hey, we may not be as close to God as we want to be now, but brethren, we're going to be with Him face to face. You talk about closeness. With the Savior. You can't get any closer than a bride and his bridegroom. Amen? So, our physical mess will be no more. It'll be no more. Our spiritual mess will be no more, beloved. Nothing will be trying to separate us from Him. There'll be, beloved, no temptation. There'll be no world, no flesh, no Satan pulling at us, trying to separate us from Him anymore. And the emotional mess will be gone. It'll be gone. We will know happiness and joy, beloved, like we cannot imagine. And we can imagine. All our mess will be cleaned up because the presence of sin is left behind. Now, we will be with Him in heaven for 7 years, at least 7 years, while the Lord sends judgment on this unbelieving earth. Beloved, there is no mention of the church on earth during the tribulation. None whatsoever. You check your Bible. We're with the Lord in heaven, during the tribulation. But then, beloved, we're going to return with Him when that 7 years is over, as He makes His final purge of sin and sets up His kingdom on earth. Now follow. During the millennial reign of Christ, there will be humans. Where's the Lord going to reign from? Jerusalem. On this earth. During the millennial reign, there will be humans on this earth. Those, beloved, who come through the tribulation are going to be human. And He's going to rule the world. He's got to have somebody to rule, amen? And, beloved, He's going to rule these humans who come through the tribulation. Now, listen very carefully. Those humans, nowhere in the Bible do I see where that sinful nature in them is eradicated when the millennium begins. In other words, they're entering the kingdom. And beloved, they've got that old sinful nature. You follow me? They've got that nature. Now, so, even in the kingdom, that sinful nature is going to be present. Now, Satan's not there to tempt them, praise God. He's bound up in the bottomless pit. Amen? But, beloved, that old sinful nature is in those humans. It's in those humans. Folks, listen. We don't have to worry about it in the millennium. You say, well, preacher, we're going to be in the presence of sin. Oh, no, no, no. That sinful nature is in them. But, beloved, the Lord will rule with a rod of iron. You know what that means? That means if that old sinful nature and that human kicks up, beloved, the Lord's going to jump on it like a duck on a June bug. Amen? He's going to jump on it and He's going to straighten it out. Just like that. It's not going to be this stuff we see now where people are sinning and sinning and sinning. Uh-uh. You don't do what God said, what the Lord said. Here He comes. He'll judge that sin. He'll judge that sin. He'll rule with a rod of iron. And we, the church, His bride, we will be in glorified bodies. So sin, beloved, cannot hurt us physically. Amen? Can't hurt us. And we'll be so close to Jesus. Praise God, beloved. It can't hurt us spiritually. Amen? It can't hurt us. What I'm saying is, beloved, the presence of the sinful nature in man may be there, but physically and spiritually, it will have no effect on us. No. The millennial reign of Christ, listen to me, will be wonderful. Amen? It'll be marvelous. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a season, for a short time. And beloved, that old sinful nature of man will kick in. And beloved, they will follow Satan, and they shall compass the beloved city, Jerusalem, the camp of the saints. Look with me in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Listen to verses 7 through 9. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassing the camps of the saints about. And the beloved city. They're coming. That old sinful nature rises to the top with Satan to lead. And here they come, beloved. Now, here is where I believe sin
the presence of sin will have one last effect upon us. Not physically, because we've got glorified bodies. Not spiritually, because we are with our Lord, with Christ, face to face. But it will affect us emotionally. It will break our hearts. It will break our hearts to see so many turn against Christ. It'll break our hearts. Don't you think it will break the heart of Christ? Of course it. Of course it. And we, beloved, as His bride, what hurts Him hurts us. I mean, hurts us to the depths of our soul. And you don't think, beloved, He loves them? He loves them. But they turn against Him. And it breaks His heart. And it breaks our heart. So again. We're going to love them too. See, we're in a perfected state, beloved. We're going to have His love for others. And He loves them, and we're going to love them. And it's going to break our hearts to see them coming against Christ. Oh, listen, the emotional pain that we will feel, beloved, caused again by the presence of sin. But look at verse 9, the last part of verse 9 and verse 10. And the fire came down from God, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, listen. Beloved, quick as this sin appears, God stamps it out. Fire falls from and destroys, and Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Immediately after that, a great white throne is set up. And all the dead, small and great, unbelievers, beloved, are resurrected, and they stand before that great white throne. And they are judged. Judged. And whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. As that last one is cast into the lake of fire, the presence of sin is eradicated forever. Forever. But then look what happens. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sin. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And be their God. There is a new heaven and a new earth created. This earth that's been contaminated by sin is done away with. He makes a new one. A new heaven and a new earth for His people. For His people. No sin-cursed creation anymore. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former passed. Folks, He will wipe the tears from our eyes. No more emotional affliction because of sin. Amen? Listen. Notice, beloved, the last part of verse 4. Neither shall there be any more pain. No physical, beloved, affliction in those glorified bodies. We will never, ever feel pain again. No, no more backaches, John. No more. No more pain. No more. No blind eyes. No heart disease. No cancer. No sickness or hurt of any kind. Of any. Go back to verse 4. No more emotional pain or affliction. No more physical affliction. No more spiritual affliction. We will dwell with Him forever and ever in a city, beloved, with gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold. We'll be just like that. Oh, what encouragement. What encouragement we find in the book of Revelation. Help me, are you suffering? Are you suffering emotionally? Is your heart breaking over something? Or something? Are you suffering physically? Do you have hurts and pains from age or from sickness? Are you suffering physical pain? Are you suffering spiritually? Are you tired, beloved, of the struggle to keep your fellowship with Christ? Are you hurting because you're not as close to Him as you should be? Because there is coming a time when all that pain and suffering will end, because sin will end. It will end. The book of Revelation reveals the Lord who will make it all right. All right. Bow your head. Heavenly Father, God, how encouraged, how discouraged we get sometimes. God, when our hearts are breaking, when we're going through troubles and trials and sorrows. God, when our bodies hurt, sickness ravages these physical bodies. Oh God, how discouraged we get. God tries, can't seem to get as close to you as we ought to be, as we should be. But Father, we need this. God, all the discouragement melts away. Because in this book we see, God, that Lord, you're going to do away with even the presence of sin. God, these things will be desperate. God, we get a picture in our eyes. Like the picture that Doug had of Linda standing in the most beautiful place she's ever seen. God, the beauty's all around. God, He looks on her face. Lord, there's no line. Words. No lines of pain in her eyes. God, no pain. God, there's perfect peace. God, that's the pain. It's going to be for all of us to know you as Lord and Savior. Jesus is going to make Himself. Jesus. In the book of Revelation, shows us the things we shall be. God, how we rejoice in that. God, we praise that. in Jesus Christ. We pray. I want you to stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And maybe you want to come and just praise Him and thank Him and love Him. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, I know I got something to look forward to. And I'm looking forward to it. Whatever the reason, whatever the purpose, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. Oh, listen, this world can discourage us so. But there's no need to be discouraged. There's no need. God's word is true. Every jot, every tittle. Won't you come? Won't you come? Maybe you got loved ones who are lost and you want to pray for them. Why don't you come and pray? Won't you come? Won't you come? We've got the victory, people. We have got the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. May He see with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask Brother Brody to do this.